I mean, who doesn't love
Ava Max?
I'm gonna be shaking when I watch Heads as a Legend, and I'm honored to even be in the same room as him.
I mean, it's favorite
Ava Max
song.
Oh man, okay. You know what? I think all of them.
All of them.
Really, no, you know what? You can't really dwindle them down.
Okay,
they're it's all hard. Really good.
As usual, we are your hosts. I'm Paul.
And I'm Pete.
And once again, this is your weekly dissection of music's greatest hits, hidden gems, and cultural resets. Each week, we dive deep into a different album to try and convince you that they truly snapped. And this week, we are diving into Ava Max's debut album, Heaven and Hell.
Avatars Rise Up. No, not fans of the movies, but fans of the genius behind this week's album, Heaven and Hell. The album, Ava's debut, was released by Atlantic Records on September 18th, 2020. Musically, Heaven and Hell contains genres of pop, dance pop, and electropop, with lyrical themes of love, feminism, and resilience. That sounds like my Spotify Wrapped.
Yeah.
Max insisted on wanting an upbeat energy to the album so it would be cohesive, reasoning that she did not want every song to sound the same. Even giving an interview in April 2019, Max said, "There are some other tracks on there that are like wild cards, and there are a few that I'm being vulnerable in." Do you think there are many of the songs, Paul, that she's being vulnerable in?
Yeah, I wouldn't say vulnerability was a key theming from a lot of the songs, but like, I suppose with the So Am I challenge, we're getting a bit vulnerable there. We'll talk about that soon. On top of being a vulnerable queen, she additionally stated that Heaven and Hell is a collection of music inspired by artists from her childhood, such as Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, and Mariah Carey.
This is a place for legends, okay?
That's just so obnoxious to me, but I really love it. And it is split into two sides, side A, which is called Heaven, and side B, which is Hell. There's also a section in the middle called Purgatory, which has one song on it, but I mean, Queen of In Between. The Heaven side consists of light, energetic songs, which serve as anthems. While the latter consists of darker and moodier melodies, at least that is the intention of what Ava sets out to do.
I think it's really cool to have your debut album as a concept album. I think it's really brave. You know, she's a brave artist who takes risks, and she kind of like thinks outside the box.
Absolutely, yeah. No, she is. She's like, I'm in heaven and I'm in hell.
I would also like to say like what we're all thinking, which is that Ava Max is probably the greatest singer of all time. I think she outsells Whitney, Mariah, Christina. The notes she can hit are unparalleled, and I don't think we'll ever see another genre of music defined so much as pop has been defined by Ava.
No, it's true. It's true.
Yeah, she actually, her vocals are really good. Like, I will say that. Like,
that's why I'm saying the greatest of all time.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll go that far, but her vocals are amazing. And I mean, she really commits to the bit with her infamous wig from this era, like half up, half down, and like the chopped like bob on one side and then long on the other represents like two different sides to herself. She really went all out for this theme.
She also said she was bi and she had feelings for women before, so she's giving us the bisexual fantasy.
Not her coming out as bi only to promote this album. I mean, I really love that. She said the LGBTs, we're here.
She did enough for us, so we can accept her into the community.
Yeah, I really, to your point, like the fact that she's doing a concept album. I think the concept's actually really strong in theory.
Yeah, definitely in theory.
Yeah, in execution, I feel like she recorded 16 songs and then thought, whoa, I kind of have a concept here with a few of them. And then just throws other songs in, like Heaven or Hell, that maybe don't really go there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a full narrative concept album. I think it's certainly like a concept album light.
While we were robbed of having a deluxe version of Heaven and Hell, there is a reissue which includes one new song, which for some reason is placed before the intro song and doesn't belong to Heaven or Hell. Probably sounds like it should be in Purgatory, but for some reason on Spotify it is the first song.
And I think that's made even weirder because the first song on the normal version of the album is called Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a real clear introduction to the concept of the album, to the side of the album that we're on. So then if you go onto Spotify now and click play on the album, you're getting My Head and My Heart, which is a bop, but doesn't fit there at all. It's not even like a prelude. Like, if that had been really cool, if it had been like a Genesis storyline, like from the Bible, but instead she just was like...
Her death story.
Right. I don't know. It just doesn't fit there. And I think then if you're going to have an album, the concept is that it's like really strong sequencing. to throw another song in there are just weird.
I feel like just someone was lazy at Spotify or at the pressing, was just like, let's just put it at the start.
Yeah, and it was never released physically on any of the albums. Like, it wasn't like they reissued the album. So I suppose Ava was more like, well, stick on the album so that if people are listening to the single, then they're going to listen to the rest of the songs versus it being a standalone. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird not even to just be like, My Head, My Heart in brackets bonus track or anything. Like, it just is at the top of the album, and I've never seen that before.
Yeah, normally it would be like on the end. Yeah. Like, if it's a bonus track, you put it on the end. I think it probably fits more in Purgatory, like you say, but it doesn't really go there whatsoever.
I know, but it is an incredible single. So let's get into these singles so we can talk about pop perfection.
And Ava does release a lot of singles from the album, so we are going to do a bit of a speed round through some of the lesser ones, because I don't think they all deserve to be singles. But what definitely does deserve to be a single is the first one released from the album. It is the very well-known and very iconic Sweet But A Psycho. Or is it Sweet But Psycho?
Sweet But A Psycho.
Definitely Ah.
Oh, she's sweet but a psycho.
But is the song called that? Because I feel like, sorry, this isn't like me being like, I know this. It's like, I just feel like I questioned it. Yeah, it's just called Sweet But Psycho.
Really?
Yeah, I remember having this dilemma that when I typed it. But what definitely should have been a single was the very first release from the album. It is the incredibly well-known and just incredible Sweet But Psycho.
A concept that I do like, which we've incorporated into our normal life now, is talking about what would an artist's final song be at their Super Bowl performance. Mm-hmm. I think it would definitely be Sweet But Psycho for Ava.
Right, like, this is one of the most streamed songs of all time, like, in terms of Spotify. I wonder, is it actually, like, I do think it has an obnoxiously large number of streams. Yeah, like, it has 1.4 billion streams on Spotify. I mean, like, everybody listened to the song.
I feel like it was also very much the start of TikTok or Musical.ly's impact on singles. I remember a lot of airplay on it immediately, like, out of nowhere. No one knew who Ava Max was. She obviously had songs before Sweet But Psycho, but everyone knows Sweet But Psycho. I think it has a massive impact on radio, and I don't think a lot of people know the rest of her songs. Maybe now My Head, My Heart.
And Kings and Queens, I think. But otherwise, yeah. other than those, I don't think like she's very well known outside of those.
It's crazy that the song was actually released August 17th, 2018, and she wouldn't release another song until 2019 from the album. So it very much was starting as she meant to go on with the biggest song probably of her career.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have included it on this album if I was actually making it. You know, this album comes out over 2 years later, and I don't really always enjoy when a song's been out for so long and then it's placed on the album. But how could she not have done it? You're right, it was just such an impactful song.
I think if I was on the hit list,
do you know your Beatles from your Bruno Mars,
and I heard that little scream at the start of the song, I'd be all, Rochelle, I know the answer.
And Rochelle would know too. She'd be clapping along. Her baby would be like flipping in her belly. Like, they would love it. And I don't think you could buy the marketing for this. Like, it's not as if like the record label can just put money behind a song and it goes viral or goes as big as this. Like, this was a natural hit. Like, it actually just blew up.
Literally.
And I do think it's quite strange but impressive that they didn't just rush out another song. Like, I do feel like, you know, when an artist gets a big hit viral out of nowhere, sort of like Olivia's Driver's License, it's like a rush to get out the project to capitalize on, you know, the success of that. And Ava was like, I'm going to wait. I'll wait 2 years. The girls can put it on pause.
Put you me on this pause. Year. Put me on pause.
Ava said about this single, I think for me personally, I have a lot of sides to me. I think everybody has a lot of sides to them. And it's basically about a girl who's not afraid to show all of her sides and her dualities, and about a guy loving all those sides. She's a girl who's misunderstood in the relationship, and she's basically being told she's psycho and she's out of her mind when she's feeling it. But really, she's an outspoken girl and she's speaking her mind. And that's how I am in real life.
Yeah, she talks about it in a lot of like over the top ways, I think, but the song does speak for itself. It's basically about a girl who's, you know, sweet but psycho.
And the music video is very much the same of her pursuing a guy and him kind of losing interest, and then her crazy Kathy Bates era with her axe coming out in her wedding dress, chasing him out as he runs out.
It's so relatable, and it reminds me of in like the Real Houses of Atlanta when Kenya Moore has her like twirling around the wedding gown with a knife, I think it is. Like, she's got some inspiration clearly, but yeah, it's a fun music video. I don't think it like has the same impact that the song does.
It's definitely a throwaway, but it does include her red hair debut and the choppy bob Well, I love seeing Choppy Bob in this.
Yeah, it's the Bob beat.
Yeah, what's up? You know, the beginning, you'll be calling you Bob. I'm like, you got nothing for the Bob. Yeah, it's my little stitch wig.
Half chopped, half not hair.
Yeah, this sets up all the staples for what an Ava Max song and music video is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit, like, cringy in the music video department. I don't think she ever really escapes that.
No.
I think she's trying to be cringy sometimes, too. Yeah.
She's kind of Katie in that way. She knows she's being cringy.
She's the Katy Perry of our generation.
Well, literally.
Like, yeah, the next generation.
Super Bowl win.
I do think it's interesting that the song only gets number 10 in the American charts. Like, I do feel like you would think with that many streams, it's got to have went number one. I mean, it barely got into the top 10.
That's crazy.
I don't know why that is. I really would have thought this was... I'm not going to say I thought it was number one.
You know, sounds like a number one single.
For 50 fucking weeks.
Yes.
But it did go number one in the UK. So we did purchase. We did stream. We did not torrent it. We purchased very legally.
And ironically, despite having waited so long to release another single, her music would then be continually critiqued for sounding like Sweet But Psycho again. The next song on her release schedule was So Am I.
And as we said, Ava did take a bit of time to release this. She released it on the 7th of March, 2019, and teased the song on Twitter for several weeks. She got the girls...
She was getting more followers.
Anticipation. Calling on fans to share pictures of themselves to show the world what makes you different, using the hashtag, So Am I.
She really said, at LGBT community.
Yeah. Yeah. She was trying to do those no hate. You ever see those?
Yeah.
It's like they've got this, like the sticky tape over their mouth. Yeah, she was going for that. When I did look up the hashtag So Am I on Twitter.
Crickets. Crickets.
There were maybe like three or four ones that I could see. Maybe they've been archived. I don't know. But just different people showing their differences and writing hashtag So Am I in Sharpie on their hands. Very Glee inspired for me.
What hashtag do you think had more impact? Hashtag So Am I or hashtag Susie and a Bum Party?
Stop. Hashtag So Am I, clearly. Charting.
Or hashtag unapologetic.
Yeah, but I personally...
Do you think Elon should bring it back?
Elon Musk should make it a mandatory hashtag, at least once a day, you just say what you are.
You have to remove your two-factor authentication, but you also have to tweet hashtag So Am I with it on your hand to prove that you're part of the Twitter community.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe you're automatically Twitter blue if you do it. I really, you can't say that, but like, it is before. Okay, I know you can't say that.
I was shocked, honey. I was in tears almost.
I do personally think this was a lot of energy for Safe, but the girls came out in dozens to comment on how they hated their bodies and mental health issues. But only, as I say, only three used the hashtag on the tweet. So sadly, three. It didn't go viral. Yeah, but like maybe they've just been deleted now. Like, there could have been loads.
Too powerful, they had to delete it.
Yeah. Was...
Well, you know why she had to.
In an interview with Billboard writer Michael Silver, Ava says the song is about what makes people unique and different from each other. It's about...
I love when pop girls have to explain a song that is so entry level, but they have to explain it. Like, she's not choosing to do this. She has to think of a stock answer to give when it's a just called So Am I.
Yeah, like, the content of the song is quite explanatory, but she does go on to say... It's about loving yourself, being different, being an outcast, and not fitting in the format that society wants us to be put into. Just celebrating what makes you different. Whenever I'm feeling down, I remind myself that my flaws make me perfect, because in reality, there is no perfect.
You know what it never was? That serious. It was never that serious.
That doesn't even, like, that contradicts itself in seconds.
I think it's really powerful, because she's doing it for people who have long hair and have short hair.
Right.
You know, like, she's not saying you have to have a bob or you have to have Rapunzel hair. She's like, you can have both.
Or neither. No, she's actually saying you can only have one.
Only both.
Yeah.
It's so you can do that to your hair. Come to her concert and write hashtag So Am I and raise your hand.
That's what would actually be the opener of her Super Bowl performance. Everybody's got their So Am I like on their hand. They're raising it up.
When we're talking about the Super Bowl performance again, I think... She would do a whole era of the half and half wig, and then she would like reveal by pulling on the short side four diamonds and dancers, pull it down, and then suddenly it's normal hair again.
Whoa, and it changes to red. How is she doing this? I don't know. I want to see.
Outsold Rihanna already.
Well, I hope that
the Navy.
I hope that
the Avon representatives are going from.
I just hope that Ava's pregnant with I hope that Ava's pregnant with AM3 instead of a little Bobby whenever she's doing her Super Bowl performance. The music video is Ava, she's like a school teacher kind of. She's like the English teacher you go to when you're gay and you're like, look, yeah. I'm gay.
She's like, she reveals, like her hands in a fist and she reveals she has So Am I as well.
Yeah, because she's bi.
No, because she has half hair, half not hair.
Yeah. But then at the end, they're all on like the football field, American football field, and they're all got their like So Am I hashtags written on their arm. More people than did it on Twitter. Like there's a lot of people in this music video that she managed to do that.
Once like, they got their check, they were like, I'm they not, were not posting that on Twitter.
Yeah, they literally would not promote it online whenever they got paid. They were like, well, they actually already had it written in their hand and probably got photographs taken. They didn't.
They washed it off.
Oh, thank God it was only in like, it wasn't in permanent ink. Should we get a So Am I tattoo?
Yeah, I think all the little snappies should go and get a hashtag So Am I tattoo.
Not doing So Am I and tattoo promo at the same time.
Oh my, well.
What
about the chart position of this one?
So yeah, upon release, So Am I peaked at number 13 on the UK singles charts. Yeah, unlucky for some, number 13. And number 14 in the Australian singles charts as well. Well, it's not charting at all in America.
Americans said no. No equality.
How do we say, like, so we aren't? You know, like, I don't know. Hashtag no, we're not. A remix of the song featuring South Korean boy band NCT 127, which was later released on July 3rd, 2019, to no impact on the world at all.
She probably was a bit freaked out. Oh, it's freaking me out promo. That the chart position was so bad compared to, well, the streams were so bad compared to Sweet But Psycho. Like, she thought, I've done it, I've cracked it, I can now release my anthem. Like, you can release your bop, then your LGBT community inclusive song right back to back, and they're gonna both do well. But she didn't.
It does have over 500 million streams, so I don't know who's listening to this song. I mean, it's not me. I just don't particularly care for this song. I don't think of it in her discography either, really. So I'm glad that it has a lot of streams and people are listening, but yeah, it didn't really have any chart impact at all. But if you want to start talking about an impact, now let's get into the third single, Torn, which I'm just going to hand over to you, Pete, because this is your Super Bowl song.
This is my song.
This is probably your favorite song of all time.
It's, honestly, I could talk about it forever.
Let's go.
I want to first point out that we just noticed that Sweet But Psycho was released the day before my birthday and Torn was released the day after my birthday. So I really think she took it as a bank holiday for me as her biggest fan. I'm your biggest fan! Ava knew what an impactful and tumultuous year I was going to have between August 18th, 2019 and August 18th, 2020. So she said, on your first day, have this.
It only went downhill from there.
When I tell you that this is the greatest pop song of all time, first of all.
Don't joke about that.
I'm not joking, bitch.
It invented. And like, I will say all the time, oh, invented bridges. No. We actually use Torn as like a touchstone for when we're talking about whether a bridge is good, based on the fact that Ava does this thing, which usually probably everyone does, but she did it first. The bridge sounds like she's falling. Like, I need you to, everyone needs to get into this because I'm going to reference it a lot more. The magnitude of a bridge is based on the fact of how much it sounds like you're falling.
Right.
So like, you've built me up with all the choruses, then in the bridge, I need to fall. I need to like, be rethinking everything, and then you need to like hit the ground like a superhero with the final chorus and burst up, just like in the music video.
Yeah,
the music video is camp as fuck. I'm really sorry, but it really is.
Oh my, this passion is insane. Where were you during the So Am I challenge?
I was asleep and then I woke up because Torn woke me up. I was falling.
Yeah, falling asleep.
You know it's time for praise when Torn is put on the TV. Volume 100, everyone's sitting, everyone's watching. It's better than most things, probably all things Marvel has released in the past 5 years.
That is actually true. It is a superhero anthem.
She created the pinnacle of superhero content, and then everything else has been downhill from that. Everything fell because she was, don't even know what her superhero name is in this, but I need to also just shout out quickly the part where she, in the music video, elbow smashes a car, rips out the seatbelt and then makes it into a belt for the rest of the music video.
Yeah, that's like in Drag Race, and they have to do their own, like,
what do you call it? Design challenge using
unconventional materials. Yeah. Yeah, she's like, okay, well, it wasn't that unconventional. She made a belt, so like, it wasn't like shocking, but
I don't think it's ever been done before.
No, but it's been replicated many times since.
And let's just say it.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
And interestingly, for the music video, Ava performed all of her own stunts, mm-hmm. spending the morning on the second day of the shoot practicing before shooting the video at 1 a.m. That's the middle of the night.
That is more dedication than the army show.
The army? Oh, I thought you meant, what is that, fans. Rihanna fans?
That's the Navy.
It's always fun. Oh, BTS, me or the army.
What Katy Perry went through for Part of Me has nothing on what Ava did at 1 a.m. at the shoot for the tour music video.
Yeah, she was like, Taylor, midnight? Okay, now I'm up at 1 a.m. This is her 1 a.m. version.
She knew gay people were awake at 1 a.m.
Yeah, they were doing poppers. And she was flying around in space.
Anyway, Ava told fans during her press release that the song explores the struggle between love and hate, which she called two of the strongest emotions we feel in relationships. And you know it's a smash because the song features a sample of ABBA with Gimme, Gimme, Gimme a Man After Midnight.
At 1 a.m.
Because she was like, I want to go to bed. But she knew that she paid ABBA for a man after midnight, so she couldn't start filming.
Yeah. For me, it's not the most obvious sample, which I like. Like, it's not really obvious. I didn't really know that until someone said it. And I was like, oh yeah, I can hear that.
Yeah.
But it's not like, oh, a direct copy. And I think this becomes kind of a theming in a lot of Ava's songs.
Oh, this is the first Infinity Stone she gets in the sample category.
Yeah, she starts to interpolate a lot of songs for the rest of her career. People do criticize her for that quite a lot. I think it's really interesting to like revitalize and revamp a song that you've liked from when you were younger.
Exactly. And we talk about how, oh, Taylor created this era of music with Folklore, and then The Weeknd started an era of like 80s.
Yeah.
I do think she started the resurgence of interpolation. And the girls have been running with it for a considerable amount of time.
Yeah, I agree with that, actually. I think that's a really good point. You know, like, she was brave enough
mm-hmm.
to pay the rights and get sorted.
And then she said, hashtag, so are you, because you're going to copy me. I will hold my breath while you tell me the chart position of Torn.
Yeah. I will say that in the UK, it does reach number 8, E7 in the charts.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't know they went so low, what they do. And then in Australia, number 34. But number 34 on the digital tracks. But much like the bridge in this song, her chart impact is falling.
I know, there's something about the locals not understanding your best single that really makes you like an icon to me.
But she does bounce back. You know, she comes back with single number 4, Kings and Queens, on the 12th of March 2020. And I mean, again, this for me is like in her top 3 most well-known songs, like one that people really would gravitate towards.
Her last pre-COVID smash, she said, one more dance before we go into COVID.
Yeah, this was the same week basically of the lockdown starting to begin. So she said, girls, guys, get dancing. Yeah. This, I actually heard that the release party for Kings and Queens was a super spreader event because everybody was there.
I don't think it's fair because she didn't know how many people had COVID at that time, you know?
Yeah, well,
she's only not barsing around.
The only thing more infectious than COVID is this song and the beat. It is a power pop song that consists of an electric guitar with synthesizers and contains an interpolation of Bonnie Tyler's 1986 song If You Were a Woman and I Was a Man, which was additionally used in Bon Jovi's 1986 song You Give Love a Bad Name. The lyrics incorporate the message of women's empowerment, which I think is really cool that she's interpolating a song called like If I Were Your Woman and I Was a Man, and then the song is called Kings and Queens. Like, I think the gender play there is quite interesting, actually.
Gender is a construct teared apart.
She tore it apart here.
It's torn. It's torn.
Well, I don't remember the music video for this at all. Like, the music video is her playing with, like, a 5-pound from B&M chess set. Like, it's really with a sword. The single cover for this one is beautiful. You know, she's, like, on a throne with a sword. It's very visual to me. Like, I really can see that as being the crux of the song. You know, it's very, like, women can wield weapons as well.
Yeah. Carly Rae Jepsen actually lent her the sword because she gets enough every night.
Right, when she does Cut to the Feeling. And the music video is very similar to that. It's basically just a live action version of the cover. She's got a sword. She's dancing around. There's like men in suits, like armor suits.
There's a lot of white backgrounds and she's got this like metal plate that's like warped on her body. Like, it's not really doing much in the music video category.
No, but what it did do a lot on, or much better anyway, are the charts. So it reaches number 13 on the US Billboard Hot 100, which is a big improvement on every other song except Pursuit But a Psycho. In the UK singles chart, number 19. Disappointing for me, again.
I don't know why the UK girls fell off. I think that we were entering an era where people were getting sick of pop again, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I do think then, after this, Dua brought it back for pop culture.
Yeah, like, but this is the same time as Dua's Physical, etc. Like, when you're comparing this to that, I think Physical is a bit more fresh.
Yeah. What we also ate up was a remix called Kings and Queens Part 2.
The sequel.
The squeakquel, yes. Released on August 6th, 2020, and featured Lauv and rapper Saweetie. And let me just say, this version is so good.
Really good, really infectious. It's really strong.
I'm a queen, I'm a boss, I'm a brat. Like, Saweetie really is incredible on it. And I think it really adds something that makes the song a bit more fresh. Like you said, it does sound a bit outdated or generic. And I think really expanding her repertoire of who she's worked with and what kind of sounds and genres she's working with can only do her better.
Yeah, I think this does set this song apart now for me. I don't think it fades into the background as much.
Ava didn't stop there. Next single, Who's Laughing Now? July 30th, 2020. She came back in the game after being away for 3 months.
And she does say that it was written as a continuation from her 2018 smash, Sweet But Psycho, as the lyrics both describe a misunderstood girl being gaslit and serve as an analogy to Max's own experiences being rejected in the music industry. Yeah, she really said, okay, girls, some of these songs are doing okay. Let's bring back Sweet But a Psycho.
The fact she summarized the song as basically telling everyone just to fuck off. Wow. She's in her holy for fuck era in this one.
This is her emo era. And she states that Who's Laughing Now is targeted towards females who had bullied her throughout middle school, causing her to start homeschooling. I wondered if one of the girls bully her and chop half of her hair off and she made it like now an empowerment piece. That's quite impressive.
That is amazing. The music video is basically her Everything Everywhere All at Once era. She's got a lot of personalities, which are depicted as having different colours of hair. Different. Well, some have wavy hair, some have long hair. You know, it's very inclusive.
Yeah, of all hair types.
To the Albanian girls. So the music video depicts her as a person seeking revenge after being fired by her boss and cheated on by her boyfriend. Now, we've seen this storyline a lot of times.
Yeah, and it's still interesting to me. I hate men.
She's seen dancing in a destroyed office and breaking a car with a crowbar before breaking free of a psychiatric hospital while strapped in a straitjacket.
I think the music video is actually quite good and quite diverse. I think of it the most. But the whole concept of the song is she's being bullied by all these girls. And then in the music video, it's about a male boss who fires her. And then a male boyfriend that broke up with her. Like, yeah. Give me bisexuality here. Give me, like, you in school being bullied. And then you could have the So My Challenge within this music video. Like, we could have a universe.
I know. And then the torn girl could have come in and, like, helped you. You know, it could have been...
She could have broke her to the hospital.
It was a multiverse, but no.
Yeah.
Well, I will actually say that Ava wrote the video's plot. So...
She's a writer.
Watch your mouth, first of all.
You both call me losers. And I don't see you out there walking children in nature.
I never called
you're
you
not
a
loser. No. That's why you're here today. You forgot who you
I
were.
I know I'm here today, but
we
I'm just telling y'all how
you
it is.
Forgot you forgot who you are. You forgot.
Ava.
You forgot you're what? Fabulous. Don't blame me for that. That's your responsibility.
Use your mouth.
One of the characters portrayed by Max is gaslighted by a doctor into becoming psycho. Throwback.
Yep.
While another had musical instruments appearing from her head, which was parallel to her own negative experiences with music executives. Now, she's ending Scooter a wee bit.
She's signing up with Scooter in the next album?
But in this part she is.
No, I don't like that. I don't want to get into that. I'll be annoyed.
I'm stopped. Bravo, bravo, bravo. I am not doing this, you guys.
What do you mean?
So we all want you to do our own version of the So Am I Challenge, which is to go and do the interactive quiz launched by Spotify prior to the release of this song. It contains 10 questions about your personality and it actually results in showing you which one of the four characters you are. And I can confirm that we have both done it and we did get very different answers.
So we're going to read out what character we got and then tell a bit about what the character is and then see if that's actually reflective of our personalities. So I'm Amanda. She's like the girl from the workplace. She's got like brown hair.
Mm-hmm.
She seems pretty basic, but here's what it says. You got Amanda. You're ambitious, smart, and have a tireless work ethic.
True.
You often daydream about food.
Oh.
Especially bagels and pastries.
They gag gibbet.
Hi, Fatty. But it is true. Like, that is factual. You have your own agenda and you are your own boss. Sometimes you can't catch the break you know you deserve, but at least you always give everything. You're 100%.
Wow.
I like being Amanda. I think it fits me personally. What do you think?
I think Myers-Briggs is found dead.
Yeah, like, this is the new thing we're going to be. We're not going to be like ENTJ. No, I'm going to be an Amanda. No.
Yeah. You got to put it in your Tinder bio so people know, oh God, he's an Amanda.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Well, Amanda found rotted because I'm a Carmen. You got Carmen. You're the perfect combination of independent and the best partner a person could ask for. True. Listening.
True.
You're strong and fearless, and you know that true happiness only comes from within. You come across as powerful, and everyone knows not to mess with you, or they will be very sorry.
That's scary.
That's true. That's why she's like writhing on the car. Carmen's the one on the bonnet.
Oh, she's the one with the crowbar. Yeah. Okay. She, yeah, okay, fair.
Don't fuck with Carmen.
No. I love it. I
thought this fucking song was big in Poland. What the fuck are you doing? I'll have you know, I think there's a lot of Carmens in Poland.
Yeah, they felt represented.
Don't you know this song was number one for one fucking week in Poland?
Mm-hmm.
On the Polish Airplay Top 100?
That's a lot of airplay.
In America, it only got to 125, and UK, it got 93. So really impactful and really genre defining. At that point, I thought, you know what? Maybe she'll stop releasing singles. But she said, OMG, what's happening?
And what's happening is we're getting another single. The sixth single from this album, it is OMG What's Happening, released on September 3rd, 2020, which is actually the day before Pete and I met, which is crazy. So there was something happening.
Mm-hmm. She actually was having a premonition.
And basically the concept of this song is that Ava breaks up with her ex and now she feels really happy with everything she has, but suddenly she realizes all she wants is her ex-boyfriend back again. After a breakup, people can still have feelings for their person long after it happens, which is what is displayed here. Very Blue by Marina from Fruit, like that, like, oh, I broke up with you, I'm happy, and then immediately regretful. Why this has a Mad Max music video, though, I don't know.
Glad to know that this only charted in Scotland, which is where my ex was when this song came out, so clearly...
He was streaming. Thank you.
Hey.
How y'all doing?
Hey, Fatty.
He didn't do... He didn't do the best job, but only got to number 95 on the Scottish charts, unfortunately, and didn't really chart anywhere else.
Well, he knew I was a Carmen, so... The last single off this album cycle is the aforementioned My Head and My Heart, released on November 19th, 2020, and is incredible. It would be nearly her last song in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, like second last. Yeah.
Could be her first one, you don't know.
It's a really good song, yeah. During the COVID-19 pandemic, Ava said she wanted to create a song which would allow people to dance while they were at home.
Mm-hmm.
And interpolates the 2000 song Around the World, La 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 by ATC. The lyrics here describe a conversation between Ava and her ex-boyfriend. There's not a single girlfriend in this for a bisexual queen.
I really appreciate the diversity between songs of all of them being about breaking up. Especially because this is the year I broke up, so, you know.
Yeah. Like, it was your anthems everywhere. Yeah. And essentially, Ava cannot get this person out of her head. While she subsequently calls up an old flame to repair her broken heart. The contrast of head and heart is referred to as another form of duality, reinforcing the concept of the album, Heaven and Hell.
And surely if we're talking about duality and talking about heaven and hell, why would this not go on Purgatory?
Yeah, it is very similar to Torn in concept, yeah. In sound, to be honest.
Literally, like, you're being torn between your head and your heart, between heaven and hell. Like, it writes itself, but she didn't put it there.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's really strange.
I think she could have, for a re-release deluxe, bulked out Purgatory, and then she could have had Heaven, Purgatory, Hell as a more thick concept where you could do different discs or different vinyl pressings for like one heaven, a heaven cover, a hell cover, and a purgatory cover. Like, I don't know why she didn't.
Yeah, no, I do agree. I don't really understand why it wasn't bulked out more. It definitely did give the vibe that it was going to be a more extended deluxe version of this album that came out, and then I think she decided to just go ahead and make a new album instead.
Yeah.
In the US, My Head and My Heart debuted at number 82 in the Billboard Hot 100.
What is with these chart positions?
Though it does peak at number 45, so it does rise up after some promo. Here in the UK, the song debuted at number 98 in the UK singles charts.
Your flop era is low-key serving.
And it peaked at number 18, so it did rise again here.
Wow, that's a big rise.
Yeah. She
her did. Phoenix rise for like a Phoenix era.
Absolutely. Performance music video was also released on the 19th of February 2021, which depicts British drag queen Bimini Bombulash of RuPaul's Drag Race UK lip-syncing the song at the Heaven Super Club, which is so interesting that it's in heaven. So that actually makes more credence that it is on the heaven side of the disc. Maybe, I don't know. I'm
but
reaching.
Not before the intro song, which is instrumental, pretty much.
Yeah, strange.
Also, really interesting that she or her team, more likely, knew that Bimini was big, specifically in the UK, specifically that Drag Race UK 2 was on at that point.
Yeah, it's still airing at this point. I mean, Bimini wasn't particularly the most popular at the beginning of the show too.
Yeah.
So like, there was a quick turnaround of her really becoming more famous after the Bing Bang Bong episode, and then getting her recording this, performing it. Amazing. Like, it was very of the moment for me.
Yeah.
And then the proper music video was released on February 25th, so just 1 week later, with Ava acknowledging that it contrasted from her previous videos by saying it was both vulnerable and dance-inspired, and she had thought of the concept for the video while writing the song. It depicts Ava and a cohort of dancers, which I notice is more than six, so she's breaking that rule, gyrating and performing choreography inside of a nightclub.
That's actually a really deep concept.
Yeah, it's so vulnerable to be...
I don't think there's ever been a music video like it.
No, it's the first club-based music video.
With dancing.
Yeah, so it's quite vulnerable and quite raw.
Yeah.
Really good song, probably my favourite song of the full package, which is a bit weird now that it's like the only song that wasn't there originally. But I think like it is more timeless than most of the other songs for me. I really enjoy it as a song. I'm really glad she released it. And I just feel like it did stick around for a little bit longer. Like, as we said, you know, it debuted at a lower number and really grew up the charts. I think it was good on TikTok. She just put a lot of effort behind it, and I felt like a real promotion, not like this slopped out and now it's done.
Yeah. Well, we love when a girl releases literally nearly all of the album track list as singles, but I think we should move on to our newer segment called... Slipped on or chopped off. And we've mutually agreed on these two choices again. We'll start with the Slept On song, for a song that we think people should give a little bit of a try if they haven't heard it or are only familiar with the singles.
Oh, and it has to be Born to the Night off this album. I mean, what an amazing song. It starts with those church bells. I'm always amped up. Like, again, this is a concept for me. You know, it's on the hell side of the album. It's at nighttime, you know, the church bells.
Yes.
It's about religion in that way too. So it is a bit more dark. I think it's fitting for hell. But it just has such an infectious beat. And like, I think the music really progresses sonically so well throughout it. It's a really strong build up. And then the chorus is really like, you can let go, you can dance. It's very euphoric. It's not over the top. It's not a lot of concept. It's just fun.
I think there is also something inherently gay or queer coded with only being allowed to be yourself in the nighttime.
Yeah.
Like having to put on a facade during the day, and then you can be like, she was born for the night. Like, it's time to go out.
Yeah. It is very that vibe of you just want to go out and have a good time, and like inhibitions will come down at that time of the night. And I really love that. It's also another one of her famous samples of Peter Schilling's song called Major Tom Coming Home.
Captain Tom.
I wasn't going to say anything about Captain Tom.
Yeah, and I always think of a tweet where it's from the Scooby-Doo movie, first of all, where Scooby is wearing like Velma's jumper and Daphne's like go-go boots.
Yeah.
And it just said, Ava Max, Born to the Night. And you know what? I literally always think about that, like Scoob putting on the Daphne boots and going to go out for the night. It clearly inspired the Scoob writers to put Ava on the soundtrack. For Chopped Off, we had to go for Tattoo.
Yeah, we're getting our tattoo removed here. I don't like this song.
Written by Charlie Puth, and we can tell.
Yeah, I mean, literally gross.
Ava actually confirmed that the song was called Black Shoes, but as it wasn't relatable, they took help from Perth and changed it to Tattoo.
So was it going to be like...
You're like a black shoe
all over my heart.
Over the floor.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
We at Snapped are just glad that he could take a break from queerbaiting to put his skills to good use for the LGBTQ+ community and change the song from Black Shoes to Tattoo. But I would still chop it off.
I think there are enough songs on the Heaven side of the album that are very similar about like just being in love with somebody. Like, I do feel like the Heaven side is more about like when you are in love with someone, and then the Hell ones are more about like the breakup side of things.
Yeah.
And I do like that. But we don't really need another like twee love song here about being like obsessed with somebody. I think we've got other ones that are a lot better.
Yeah.
And now leading us between the Heaven and Hell segments of this very episode is our ad break.
We once lived in a world where bodies of water were man's biggest hindrance. Land masses were divided. The transportation of goods and services were limited before she cut that half and half bulb. We at the Ava Max Bridge Corporation are committed to building the best bridges money can buy. Don't be torn on who to go to. We're the best in the game.
Hello to you all, and welcome back to the prestigious Snappy Awards. Now over to our hosts Pete and Paul for the first award, for the cringiest line.
It is hard to rip apart Shakespeare's work and find something you don't really enjoy. And, you know, as Ava Max is the Shakespeare of the music industry, trying to critique a cringiest line is quite difficult. There's a lot of thought behind each of these songs.
Especially when she's an unapologetic cringe queen. So you can't, like, you can't out-cringe
the cringer.
Yeah,
and
don't cringe the cringer.
And if there's cringe in the songs, it's intentionally cringe.
Yes.
So then is it actually fair for me as a person to say that's a cringy line?
Yeah.
Or is that the intention?
Exactly. Like, she's so multifaceted, you can't really.
But we've got to give the award.
Yes.
We're still awarding. We're giving it to a song called Salt, which was a promo single from this album we didn't even have time to talk about earlier because she's got every single song. But in the song, she says, I got my thigh highs on, feel like Wonder Woman. That's when you want all in, but I'm not your woman. I just find it clunky. To rhyme woman with woman is very like Blue Hydrangea rhyming home with home. It's like, girl, you couldn't get the source out. You couldn't get the...
It is absolutely outrageous in today's society that the dictionary, which I'm a massive fan of the dictionary, you know, we should be like promoting the dictionary anyway because...
Like, you can literally type into Google rhymes with woman and there will be others. Something else rhymes with woman. Though I do think the thigh highs on is a Scooby-Doo reference. So maybe so.
And now for the second award of the night, the weirdest fact.
So for weirdest fact, I went for sort of like a little Easter egg. You know what they used to do on DVDs? You can accidentally find an Easter egg for something that's coming up soon. So in the Sweet But Psycho single cover, Ava's lying in front of a mirror with her long platinum blonde hair. Like, this is your introduction to her. You only have the song at this point. You're like, okay, she's a blonde girl. I understand that in my head. But see, if you go to Spotify or Apple Music and look at the single cover, in the reflection in the mirror in front of her, you can see a little glint of red hair.
Gag.
Yeah.
I'm going to look that one up right now, live on air. Whoa. She's got the mind of a mastermind. Like, that is crazy.
Yeah, so clearly it indicates that she had some sort of loose concept for the album cover, which is cute. It's her with her blonde and then the flip side, her with her orange hair.
Yeah, I actually didn't mind it until people said it was ugly and I looked at it more and I really don't like it now.
Oh, I think it's iconic. Sorry.
Yeah, I get that. But the photo shoot for the album was just so good. And like the cover in the back is really nice. Like the photo shoot. And like that could have been used instead.
I know.
I also want to give a shout out to the Who's Laughing Now cover because she's essentially nude. Her like hair is covering her like delicates. And then she's got Who's Laughing Now written on her like stomach. But the O in now is her belly button.
Whoa.
Yeah, she really used her body to full effect in this album, I think.
The awards just keep on coming. Now on to Best Live Performance.
There are not too many live performances of a lot of these songs, unfortunately, because Ava's voice is incredible live. Like, no joke. Like, I know people might not think she's the best vocalist. She's so good live. But the performance of My Head and My Heart on Jimmy Kimmel is really actually strong. Like, it's really good. She's in this like golden cage. She's like trapped and then she bursts free when she's singing it. And she does like a really good run on the bridge. Like, she just is really good vocally. It does give me Circus Tour tease when Britney was in the cage for Piece of Me and she's breaking out. It's very similar. I feel like she probably was inspired by that genuinely because she cites Britney as a reference a lot. So I think that is cool. Like, if you're a fan of Britney from that era, it's like, oh, now we've got the Britney Spears of 2020. In our midst.
What is she wearing? It's time for the ugliest merch award.
I would love to stan one girl who has nice merch that I can buy in the UK and isn't expensive or ugly and basic. Like the Heaven and Hell t-shirt, only $30 for a plain black t-shirt that says Ava Max on the front and Heaven and Hell on the back. No photos, no images of her, not even the Choppy Bob logo.
Right, yeah, that would be more iconic in the middle. It is really ugly. Like, it's just the album cover cropped around her name. I'm just looking at it that way. And, like, that's it.
Yeah, like, Heaven and Hell written in the same typefaces. That's it in the back.
And $30. $30,
and they only have 2XL left.
Well, that would fit me, to be fair, but, like, it's just not the vibe. I really don't enjoy it. It is ugly.
Now for a new award for the Snappies. Alternative album title.
Hard to think of a different album title because I think Heaven and Hell sums up the album really well. I think Torn, if we'd picked that as the album title, would have actually told the story a bit better and wouldn't have restricted her to put songs in heaven or put songs in hell. Like, it would have been a bit more, she's torn between multiple different things, and then it wouldn't have to have been siloed in that way. Or Purgatory, maybe. I don't know. I think I'm going to go with Torn if I really had to pick. But I'm not mad at Heaven and Hell. I think, like, that lends itself really well in terms of, like, the different hair colors and the duality of it a lot more. So I think it probably is the best, but we'll go for Torn as an alternative.
There's High Fashion on the Runway. What have we got for our final award? Best Luke?
Okay, I'm obsessed with this image. What's your live reaction to it, Paul?
To me, okay, I'm going to say what it makes me feel like first, and then we can describe what it looks like.
Uh-huh.
And we will post it over on our socials, but it looks like Ava's being crucified to her own Chubby Bob logo. Like, it looks like she's been chained to it or something.
I think it is Ava Max has been heard by aliens. They've heard Heaven and Hell.
Yes.
Then they've gone and made a monolith to her on their planet.
Of the Chubby Bob.
Of the Chubby Bob, yes. Then they've kidnapped her in the night while she was swimming.
Oh, she's in swimming gear, sorry.
But yes. I love, it's like a cut out swimming bathing suit showing off the O from Who's Laughing Now, her belly button. Then she was in a platinum blonde era at that point, and she has got chunky heels on. And then they brought her to their planet, and they have strapped her to the monolith with blue rings of, like, energy. And she is almost being crucified. She is their version of Jesus.
Yeah, it is a deity. She is the mm-hmm. deity.
The ground's cracking as well, like, because of the impact of the monolith.
Right, it's on unstable ground because the power is too strong.
Yes.
And do you think she's being used as, like, an energy source for their planet?
I think, yeah, they're making bops for their own alien community. From her brain.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. I really want to make this, like, my desktop wallpaper now. It is so iconic. It's giving, like, Barbarella, like, 60s version of what, like, Space Girls are gonna be like. It really is amazing.
Well, that concludes another iconic Snappies. Join us next week for more awards. Now back to the studio.
And now that we're back in the studio, we're going to talk about all things that came next. That Max and Easter Rain just wouldn't let up. Diamonds and Dance Floors, her second studio album, released on January of 2023, and it's incredible. Incredible.
I think she really refined herself even more than what she already was at.
She doesn't feel as restricted to the theming of the album for me. Yeah. It is really strong. I don't think she's got as many successful singles from it. I think most of the singles people know are from Heaven and Hell. Mm-hmm. It's a big tick for Heaven and Hell. But it does show me that she's not letting up. Like, she's continuing to push forward what pop, even if it's basic pop. I've seen people online say it's basic. Well, girl, we need to dance to something. And it's Diamonds and Dance Floors.
Mm-hmm. Oomph said Ava Max makes music for praise. And I'm like,
I'm drinking. What? Yeah, I've got my wine in my hand. I'm shaking my body. It's so good. Now, Ava has said she's a 5-year album plan with the intention of releasing one album every year. Yeah, I think the Amazon workers that leaked the album by distributing the vinyl 6 months before the album was going to be released threw a spanner into the works of releasing an album every year.
I think Jeff Bezos just really couldn't wait.
He was intimidated by her success.
And he left Amazon after that.
Yeah, it was a scandal. Quite the scandal, really.
I also wonder if this 5-year plan are all albums that are blank and blank. Heaven and Hell, Diamonds and Dance Floors. I think that would be really cool. I think it would be now strange if her next one is called, like, Ava or something.
Yeah.
I think she should just continue because it's camp. It's her version of Adele's age.
Yes, I do agree.
Is the ampersand in the middle.
Yeah, I like that.
Now, we are too old to know what Roblox is, but no one can deny the impact that Roblox has had on artists performing in COVID. The fever dream of a launch party featured Ava in Roblox as a Roblox character on a massive in-game screen where she answered a series of questions from fans, performed some of her songs, and mingled with the crowd. of janky looking avatars in virtual form. At least that was the idea. As the event unfolded with several apparent technical hiccups, apparently her character was supposed to float off on a cloud, but in many servers she was pushed into the lava pit below.
That was kind of viral. Like, I remember at the time, like, everyone was like, Ava Max in the lava. Like, she just fell. She fell straight to hell. But I like that as a concept because, like, in some people's games, she was going to heaven on the cloud. And in some people's games, right into hell, girl.
So Roblox is, like, her purgatory.
Yeah, it's all of ours, to be honest, from the shit that I've seen on that server.
Sorry, that is iconic. And you think it's the most iconic event to happen during this album rollout, but you know there's something else coming.
Yeah, buckle up. Because Ava Max was solely responsible for the dissolving of a political party in the Netherlands in 2020. Like, they survived COVID, they served a lot, but they did not survive Ava Max. According to Dutch political commentators, one prospective MP declared that he was sick of listening to the classic FM, so he decided to blast Kings and Queens by Ava Max instead. After which, a colleague played French jazzy music. This led the founder of the party to shout, "This is the party of classical music. We only play classical music here." And I think we should forget Marxism, because I hear Marxism is all the rage in 2023.
I can't believe that's true. Like, that will be in history books.
She scalped the Netherlands. Like, I don't know, like, what part of this is from, but it sounds like a Tory. I don't like it.
We've seen some scathing reviews over the years, but this one where they describe that Heaven and Hell would only be perfect for filling the playlist of stores and hairdressers of a shopping mall with generic songs that could all become singles at any time. One, they spilled. Two, it was played in Parliament. So what have you done, reviewer?
Oh, you gonna drag me now?
I will drag you.
You gonna drag me?
I'll drag you.
Oh, drag me, Monique.
All right,
drag me.
No.
And there was more than enough for everybody to go around, apparently, because there are at least 32 unreleased songs, according to her Wikipedia page. And from the ones that we've heard, they're all incredible. Mm-hmm. There's even one called Dollar Baby, which is a premonition. Like, this was only, like, in Heaven and Hell, there's only $1 baby, but in Diamonds and Answers, there's a million.
Well, because she only had $1 at this point, now she has a million.
Super Psycho obviously did it well. And we've come across this really iconic tweet where Max is publicly asked to do a collaboration with Bebe Rexha, Dua Lipa and Rita Ora. Now, sadly, at the time of recording, this song has not come to fruition, but when Bebe tweeted her and asked her for this collaboration, she does reply, "The new Lady Marmalade."
No one says that, but yes.
I just think it's iconic that Bebe, one, thinks that anyone else would respond. I'm shocked even Ava did. But she just tweets, "I want a collab, at Dua Lipa, at Rita Ora, at Ava Max." Like, the gall and audacity of the sacrifice chanteuse.
She does get Rita Ora though, doesn't she? For girls.
Yeah.
Dua and Ava were busy that day.
But even in her multiple unreleased songs, she has pretty good features, including Flo Rida, Bonnie McKee and Emenike. So I really don't think Ava is running out of content anytime soon and doesn't need to give charity work to people on Twitter. And with all that, Paul, I think it's time we wheel out the indisputable impact iconometer.
Oh, it's so heavy. As you know, the indisputable impact iconometer is our system of telling the gravity and scale of the impact an album and an era really has on pop culture. So we're not ranking how good this album is, but how impactful the era is. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start inputting now, and the machine will reply with a percentage of overall impact.
Beep boop, Roblox Eva, bleep bloop, choppy bob, BZZT, sweet butter psycho, calculating, 72%.
And I think 72% is a really commendable score for this album.
Oh, for sure. Like, this is a debut album and there's multiple positives, such as the iconic singles that really did make their way into pop culture, like Super Psycho, Kings and Queens, and My Head, My Heart. I do think multiple people will know that compared to some of the more obscure tracks. It also gave her a massive upswing into her second album, which is again full of so many good songs, which I'm sure will be going viral in the coming months. It also landed Ava in the elite group of gay icons, the Gay Elite Four, appearing on season 14 of RuPaul's Drag Race, and even having her My Head My Heart song be an incredible lip sync between Georges and Ryan Story. So, you know, she got Georges to punch the ghost, and then she put Ghost on Diamonds and Dance Floors.
Uh-huh.
We saw you on Drag Race last year. I gotta ask you about that lip sync, because you know it's one of the most viral lip syncs ever, when Georges tore up My Head and My Heart, like...
love it. It's so good. She's incredible. Georgia's like, she is on the top of my list.
And finally, you cannot dispute that she took down a government with this album, with one song. The impact of it alone made it at least a good 70%.
That's so true. Now, there are some negatives, which docked some points. There was no tour associated with the album as it was released during COVID, meaning she didn't venture far beyond the Roblox lava pit. Also, the music videos are generally a mess, generic and not very memorable. They do feel quite thrown together for me, with other songs getting music videos that aren't singles like Naked. Just a bit incohesive for me. And I think the album cover and the concept of the album are a bit half-baked. Like, I think there's a lot of potential there, but I don't think they're fully executed throughout this. Not to mention that there are additional songs like Every Time I Cry that she does release in between the albums that could have very easily folded into a deluxe version that just never got made.
Just as a closing thought, I think Heaven and Hell is such an amazing album, and I think, much like Future Nostalgia, it really is pinpointed for me in the lockdown era. But with songs like Sweet But Psycho reminding me of a really interesting and fun period of my uni career, and the album rollout really being the midpoint of COVID, coming out of COVID, being able to dance again. And I think it's amazing that now with Diamonds and Dance Floors, we really can dance to these songs.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Snap Season 2. As always, follow us along on our socials at SnapPod over on Instagram, where we post behind the scenes content and visuals of everything that we talk about on these episodes. And don't forget to subscribe to Snapped on your favorite podcast streaming service to get notified when episodes release over the next 8 weeks. You can even give us a glowing 5-star review if you're feeling particularly generous.
I've been your host, Pete.
And I've been Paul.
As always, keep those ears peeled for a quick sneak peek of next week's album at the end of this episode. See you then. Bye.